Good morning. If you would, please turn to Psalm 119, and we'll continue our exhorting one another in the Psalms in verse 105 through 112. And this is the word of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. 2 Peter 1:9 says, we also have this prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And Jesus Christ is referred to as the morning star, the great morning star. In Proverbs 6:23, for this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instructions are the way of life. In Psalm 16:10 through 11, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Last night I was thinking about this, and when the storm was coming, and I was reading the commentaries from Calvin and Henry, and the Lord brought together this word to me, and I had to get up and get my concordance out and go back to bed. Then I got back up again and looked back at the concordance, and I love that he brought me to this in John 1. And I'd like for you to turn there, please, in the Gospel of John, verse 1. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It seems like the psalmist in each of these stanzas begins with a verse that seems to be dominant throughout the whole stanza. And this verse, I kept meditating on this verse of your word. And he brought me here, and I just thought it was beautiful. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from him is fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is the Father's side. He has made him known. When we read the Old Testament, we think about the shadow and the literal. And here the psalmist is looking to Christ. And he sees, we see this in this abstract thought brought into a person here. If we see Christ in this, that he is the Word, and that he is a light into our path. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled unto himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And I think about Chandler when he was talking this morning of looking to Christ and proclaiming Christ. And as we look in the Old Testament, we don't see Christ on some of the pages. We see him in every page and every word. And it was encouraging to me to see God's faithfulness, that David sent me a text Wednesday asking me to do a psalm, and I'd been struggling getting in the Word, and it was God's faithfulness to get me there. So the psalmist goes on to say in 106, "I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules." Nehemiah 10:29, "All these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord." Nehemiah is saying that not only this is an oath, but it's a curse to seek to fulfill the law. And that we have a blessed assurance this morning that Christ is our fulfillment of the law. That he has not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And that's encouraging. Psalm 107, "I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." Some translations give the word "give me life" as quickening, quicken my life, or quicken me, Lord. I love the Greek word for quicken. It means to make alive. That in this, that he's not asking for just a shot of energy, but he's actually requesting to be brought from the dead, a spiritual death. And that he continues to look to this light unto his feet as his hope, that he is looking towards Christ in this scripture. In 108, "Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules." Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." Psalm 119:12, "Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees." In Hosea 14:2, "Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruits of our lips." Verse 109, he says, "I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law." That here I think the psalmist is writing that he is often tossed back and forth between trusting in the law, trusting in himself, and trusting in God. Job 13:14 says, "Why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands? Why do I look to myself?" I think of Paul when he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall rescue me from this body of death?" And he goes on to say, it is Christ that will rescue him. He sees Christ as his hope. And that's the way we should look towards Christ this morning, as our hope, that he is our only hope. 110 says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts." That although the wicked have come against him, that his eyes are continually on him, that he is the light, the lamp unto his path. Psalm 145 says, "The arrogant have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path." Verse 111 says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." that he looks at these spiritual markers, that God's faithfulness through times, that even that if he's in times of being discouraged in his walk, that he remembers those times where God was faithful to him. And he looks to those testimonies, that they were God's testimonies that were able to preserve him. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to live to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Psalm 16:5, I love this verse. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, of my cup. You maintain my lot." Verse 112, "I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." Psalm 119:33, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end." And Psalm 119:36, "Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain." So I encourage you, body, this morning, that we, as we look to the Word, that we are looking to Christ, and that we not sway away from our time spent with the Word, because it is our time spent with Christ.